Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll throw an eye over the latest from the social media addiction trials. John Riley of TheEffect.net is going to be here shortly to run through the latest gadget reviews. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. And lads, what a week it has been. There has been an awful lot going on both here at home and indeed overseas in the world of tech. We're going to try and run through as much of it as possible over the next hour. But I wanted to start by looking at the research that CyberSafe Kids published on Tuesday, which was Safer Internet Day. Now, as you may know, we had Alex Cooney, CEO of CyberSafe Kids, on the show last week talking through the Oireachtas Media Committee appearance by some of the big tech companies. But what their research showed was that 51% of children have no parental restrictions around online contact, such as chatting and gaming with people they don't know. Now, that stat is pretty stark, but it's not a hopeless case. If you are the parent of a child who has a device of their own, maybe they use your device, maybe there's a shared console in the house, whatever it may be, it's not too late to sort of go back and retrofit some controls. I'm a huge fan of the Google Family Link, which is a free service. If the kids have devices that are Apple, you can tie them to your account if you're an Apple user. There are steps and measures that you can take, but there is nothing better than having a conversation with your child or your children about what they're doing online. It doesn't have to be an accusation type rage at all. It's just a case of, come here to me, I see you're on that app. What is it? How does it work? Why do you like it? What do you not like about it? Are there ads on it? Are there opportunities for you to click on to something else? Those little conversations help bring you into the child's digital life. And then it means, if and when something not ideal arises, this isn't your first time hearing about this app. Maybe you can go and do a bit of research on it and find out how to screenshot, block, report, all the rest when it comes to individual platforms. It is an absolute minefield. There's no two ways about it. But as I said, it's not too late to take action. It takes a bit of time, bit of commitment, bit of headspace, but it is absolutely worth it. And if you want some advice and tips, you can search for Behind the Screens on the Go Light app or indeed wherever you get your podcasts. This is a series of live events we ran towards the end of last year. And I took the show on the road, basically had panels of experts talking through from a primary school level right up to secondary school. What do parents need to know? What do they need to be aware of? How can you reset the algorithm? How can you take better control and have better oversight of what your kids are doing online? So all that information is available for free. Just search for Behind the Screens. As I said, hit subscribe and all of the information will be there. As I said, we are going to look at the social media addiction trials a little bit later on the show. But we're going to start this week with a look back at some of the big tech stories of the week and indeed some device reviews. Joining me now is John Riley of TheEffect.net. John, how are you?
Great, Jess. You?
I am very well. We are entering into a busy period now for device launches. We know Samsung Unpacked is happening later this month. And what's funny is a few years ago when you and I were chatting, there'd be, say, three or four key moments of the year. So you'd get a Samsung in February.
Yep.
You get a Note maybe in August thereabouts.
Yep.
Then you get your iPhone in September. And they would be the three big times that you'd get new devices that were worthy of having a chat about.
Yep.
Now it just feels like there's something every other day.
The playing field has totally opened up, and it's for better and for worse. I think for the better, because it just gives us, the Irish consumers, more options,
yeah,
more competitiveness in the market. I'm always trying to recommend brands that people mightn't automatically think of, just because there's value for money there. And to, like, even the brands themselves are shifting their dates around because they're competing with this new landscape with, you know, Chinese brands, the Xiaomi's and the Oppo's and the OnePlus's, kind of launching one device in January and then and its success in December in the Chinese market, and then slowly seeding it into the the worldwide market. So the timetables have all changed. The calendar dates are being moved around. You mentioned Samsung. We know Pixel is kind of becoming a bit more dependable in the August timeframe, but that used to be October. Like, it's, they're all shifting to try and compete with each other.
Yeah, and what I find really interesting, and it's something that I've learned predominantly from you over the last, say, 2 years in particular, is that we need to move away from Apple and Samsung being the only ones worth talking about. Because you mentioned their value for money, and that is something that's really important. But I still know people who will only pay attention when there's an Apple phone launch and will disregard everything else because they're so loyal to that one ecosystem.
Yeah, I guess it's the loyalty, it's the simplicity, it's the familiarity that they know the brand, they know the product, they know what they're getting. But it's also like, it's our job to keep on top of these things and to see what's launching and why they're different and why they're making a big razzmatazz about it. And we then try and filter it down to the people that don't have the time that we like to commit to this type of thing to say, actually, this is worth your attention. This is worth your money. So I do like being that kind of intermediary where people come to me, what about that new one I saw? Or they heard a rumor. Like, it's literally, I don't know how many times a brand's, I think it's like six or something even more, that a brand needs to be kind of brought up into someone's conversation or in their kind of ether, that they go, okay, all right, let me have a look at this because I've heard so much, your man said it on the radio, yada, yada, yada. So it's this continual education aspect and kind of informing people that there's other options out there, that don't just switch on your attention for the new Apple every September because they're delighted in your ignorance and that you don't know about the other, you know, ignorance is bliss. But there's so much better, you know, value, as I said, for money, but just kind of innovation and clever engineering hacks and things other brands are doing, that the safer bets are being safer with their bets, the Samsungs and the Apples, and they're not pushing the boundaries like they used to. So,
Yeah, and look, it is a good time for you, the consumer, if you are due an upgrade in the next little while. As we said, there's Samsung Unpacked coming in a few weeks' time, which we will, of course, cover. But you've two devices that you've been testing over the last wee while, the first of which is the OnePlus 15. How are they on 15 already?
Well, yeah, I think I might have said it in a show previously that they jumped from the 13 to the 15 because in Chinese culture, the number four is too closely connected to the Chinese word for death. So they will actually actively jump over it and not touch it because of bad luck in their culture.
Okay.
So that's hence why the four won't be in any of these kind of branding monikers for these Chinese brands, which is really interesting.
That is fascinating. And again, it's good to know.
They'll actively avoid the number. Yeah. So the 50, the 13 came out this time last year, and now we're on the 15. It launched late 2025, and I've been testing it for a few weeks now, and my full review is on theeffect.net. And again, you know, we spoke about it, I think, just before Christmas, and the battery capacity is what sells this phone alone. It's 7,300 milliamps. Oof. On top of the cutting edge Qualcomm Snapdragon processor, the cameras are definitely not going to leave you wanting, and it's going to give, you know, for gamers, people that love gaming on their phone, those AAA titles, the Destiny Risings, the Call of Duty Mobiles, the Genshin Impacts, you're not going to have any issues on this device. So this is what OnePlus is positioning the phone as, more so gaming and kind of performance based than kind of optics or photography based.
Yeah.
And that's where its kind of sister brand, the Oppo Find X9 Pro, which also launched late last year and into this year here in Ireland. That's where it's positioning itself. So yeah.
And isn't it interesting that under different kind of stickers on the phone, for want of a better word, you can kind of customize and find a phone that works for your lifestyle rather than buying a phone and trying to work around how long the battery's going to last and what you want to do.
Whenever someone comes to me for a phone recommendation, I always ask those questions. What do you want it for?
Yeah.
What do you need? Is battery important? They sound like obvious questions, but sometimes people go, oh yeah, that's a good question. Like, they actually are caught off guard because, like, you don't want me, my battery isn't great, but I just put up with it. Or the camera could be better, but again, I got it for this price. So it's like, there's way more options out there and I'm happy to help. So definitely asking yourself those questions. And even to the point of going into the stores, thankfully these kind of more sub-brands or kind of not lesser known brands are getting more and more footprints in the retail stores.
Yeah.
So I'd always recommend to someone, if they are interested in a device, try and get into the store to have a hands-on with it. Harvey Norman might have it, Three might have it, one of the Vodafones, whatever store is near you, try and pop in and ask them, can you see it in the hand? Because that kind of makes a big difference to a lot of people too. I know a lot of them go into covers or cases, but even still, just to know you're kind of comfortable with how it looks and feels.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly with some, because a lot of the phones now have like a chunky enough screen on it. And so it's the small things like, can your thumb stretch across when you're sending a text? Those little things do make a difference. What's the pricing or the price point on the OnePlus 15?
Yeah, so there's always kind of good deals when they initially launch, and they kind of do kind of discounts for students even. So there's different ways you can play the system to get yourself a bit of a discount. But around now, if you are to go onto the OnePlus website, you can get it for about €1,000 or €1,100 for their kind of different memory configurations. So again, the value really is still there. They're kind of, they're always known as the flagship killer, in inverted commas. And I know €1,000 is not necessarily going to be cheap in anyone's book, but that's still coming in actually less than the other kind of flagships we're kind of aware of these days.
Yeah, and like, again, not to overstate the point, but for around £1,000, you're getting a device that has a 7,300 milliamp battery. The average, I think it's a 5,000 milliamp.
Kind of that you 5 to 6 max. Yeah.
Max.
But so 5, yeah.
Like, you're getting a good wallop of a battery life there on that one. And you mentioned there the Oppo Find X9 Pro. Give me the lowdown on that one.
Yeah, so these are sister brands out of China, and the Oppo brand has just always been pushing the boundaries when it comes to photography. This was the top of many reviewers online, their phone of the year last year, and it was one of my favourite phones. I think you asked me before Christmas what was my device of the year, and I said the Xiaomi 15 Ultra, and I kind of gave an honourable mention to this device that I hadn't got my hands on yet. Mm-hmm. So since then I've reviewed it. Again, the full review is on theeffect.net. I just love this phone. It's just the screen, the camera, the battery, 7,500 milliamp hour battery. You've got a MediaTek Dimensity processor. Again, a competitor to Snapdragon in pure brute force and performance. You're never going to be left wanting. Like, it's going to just sail through anything you throw at it. And you got, you know, your 80 watt charging speeds. That's, again, people just become so complacent with their iPhones or their Samsungs even, which are up at 45 watts. This is twice the charging speeds. And again, the battery is maybe 50% bigger as well. So you have to just do your homework if you want. We're happy to help on the, you know, yourself and myself. Any questions that come into the show, we can give people some recommendations. And yeah, the Oppo Find X9 Pro, even though it launched technically last year, it could be the phone, one of the phone of the year is going into 2026 because of how powerful and impressive all the specs are.
And in terms of, because I know you like your photography, your phone photography, and in terms of point shoot clarity colors, where are we at with this one? Is this
They've found a really nice balance between just keeping the AI in check, but also using the sheer brute force or the physical impressive hardware that's built into the device. There's a 200 megapixel telephoto lens, so you're not trying to digitally enhance or kind of blow out an image to get that detail in a far off shot. That 200 megapixel lens does the heavy lifting, and then the AI comes in at the end just to tidy up the smoother edges. So you're going to get that, as I said, the Oppo is focused on the photography aspects, and they kind of really made sure that the tweaking and the way the picture is captured with the white balance and everything else is as accurate as it can be.
Yeah.
And just that little bit of a lift from the computational photography once the photo is taken. So I've been very impressed. The low light especially is, you know, most phones can do really good low light these days, but this still just captures very natural shots from the testing I did with it as well.
And what's the price point on this one?
So that one's coming in at more, you're given all the specs and the criteria of all those camera credentials, that's coming in at €1,349. So sitting at smack bang with the likes of the latest iPhones, the latest Pixels and the latest Samsungs. So it's not cheap, but it is a flagship, and you're definitely getting flagship specs with that price point.
In terms of out of the box, they're both Android devices. Is there any sort of annoying software or apps that you have to go through the process of uninstalling? Do you remember there was a period a few years
ago
that just, it was painful. People would spend, you know, 20 minutes once they've set up the device just removing all this layer of junk.
Yeah, it's not as egregious or as aggressive as it used to be, but there still is apps there that you most definitely will never use. There's recommendations they might tell you to, or might ask for you to install as you're setting up the phone, which I don't know what the kind of agreements are with those brands to have that as recommendations. That's all kind of behind the scenes. But yeah, there is still that bit of housekeeping at the start. I do it anyway, and you know, I guess a lot of listeners that don't want to blow it on their phone will get rid of those apps they're not going to use. And you know, as you said, they are Android devices, but they have their own operating system layered on top of Android. So you've got Color OS on the Oppo and you've got Oxygen OS on the OnePlus. These are just skins, but then they themselves have their own version of different apps. So there's their own gallery, their own mail app, and you know, people that have Android are fully aware of this, that there's apps that you may never go into because you have your Gmail or you have your Outlook. So there's going to be those apps that just are kind of mandatorily installed, and then other ones that you may not be too keen on. Maybe I think booking.com was randomly one I've seen rear its head on these devices for some reason. And I'm like, I didn't ask for that to go on, but I don't know what that agreement is there, that that's automatically there. But yeah, there's still a bit of work to be done. Like, it's not at pixel level where, you know, you open a Google
it's
Pixel,
clean.
It is just Android and you get your Google apps straight in the straight out of the box.
Okay. As John said, if you've got any questions, if you're on the hunt for a phone, maybe you're due an upgrade or you're going to buy something outright, techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address. And you can read the full reviews that John has done up on theeffect.net. There are quite a few stories, like as I said there at the top of the show, it has been a very busy week in the world of tech again. I don't understand. It's like, I feel like I'm saying the same thing each and every week. But one thing that got me really irate, and it's the teeniest, tiniest little tech story of the week.
Well.
But it was seeing people on social media posting not only ChatGPT generated caricatures of themselves, but also the prompt in which people said,
"Oh, you didn't say that.
Using all the information you have about me, create a caricature of me." And I don't understand. I don't understand why people are willing to prompt these AI things to go on, scrape everything that exists about them, and then pull that information into a cute caricature. And this is something that you can see people who have posted before about concerns about data centers and the impact of the environment, people who have posted about keeping our kids safe online. And yet when there's something cute and involves them, they're like, come on, let's jump on board.
The ego takes the seat, yeah.
It's just driven me insane. And I think these sort of AI caricatures that are arising, not only are they doing actual artists out of a job there.
Yep.
I don't get it. I don't understand. It's like when everybody went through the phase of getting them turned into like a Barbie doll or an action doll.
Oh yeah, they were just kind of toy figurines in plastic packaging with their occupation or whatever it was.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I saw this happening too over the last week or two. To your point, like people I never thought would do it, doing it. And not that they, like people on my Facebook, people I've been friends with for decades nearly at this stage on my Facebook profile, and people from Mayo that I haven't seen in years as well, just putting up these pictures. I'm like, what's going on here? Like people I never thought would touch AI or had any interest in AI, and now they're even on the bandwagon of going, tell me everything you know, or make a picture of me with everything you know about me and make it into a cute little character, show everyone my profession and what they think I am. Ugh. And it was quite mental to see how rapidly it happened and how many people jumped on board.
I just found it wild. I genuinely found it wild.
I know. Well, I've seen your stories and you've kind of caught, like there was some great article you posted about the guy saying, like, if you want to know what yourself, these trends that the 2016 versus now trends, it's like, look at the photos you have from 2016. Don't ask ChatGPT to do a comparison or those type of, there's like, unfortunately, not to be the tinfoil hat wearing people, that there's darker underlying kind of agendas at play when these trends come out of nowhere and everyone jumps on board. It's like, I want people to put in as much information they have so we can pad out our LLMs, our large learning, whatever it is. We need more data because data is money now. Data is,
It was the same with the 2016 trend a few weeks ago. People were uploading images from 10 years ago, essentially telling the AI
what I looked like.
This is what I look like. This is where I traveled. This is the food I ate 10 years ago. And you might think, should they already have that information? You're confirming and you're helping educate the AI as it goes along. And as you said, you don't want to be the tinfoil hat and you don't want to be a Debbie Downer and all the rest. But I just feel like this is an example of snakiness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the technical term, yeah.
I don't like the snakiness.
No, it's just, you just, people need to just take a beat. I even hate that term. Just take a beat, you know? And just relax before you jump onto these AI kind of trends just for the clout or for whatever it is, for a couple of likes on your story, and just go, what exactly am I giving away here? What are they taking from me? And how could it potentially be used for them? Because it's benefiting them, your data.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And also, it kind of feeds into one of the stories that we've spoken about quite a bit on the show over the last few weeks, and that is the social media addiction trials.
Yeah.
Because for me, not to the same level, but it's another example of people engaging in things they don't fully understand, they don't know the consequences of, and they kind of can't help themselves using it and engaging with it, if you know what I mean.
It's a slippery slope.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we saw on Monday the social media addiction trial happening in the US got underway. It relates to a 20-year-old woman who's only known by KGM.
Yeah.
It is a landmark moment in terms of big tech, right?
It's a bellwether kind of case that this could, if this kind of transpires, and we've seen Snap and TikTok settling out of court before this case even went to trial, and they're, as you know, to your point, they're accusing this defendant or plaintiff is accusing these mega corporations, tech brands, of having manipulative practices or algorithmic ways of keeping people on apps and giving them kind of unhealthy content being pushed to them, and just unhealthy habits of using the app that it can impact their mental health. So yeah, this is a big one. And if, you know, if this kind of transpires and comes to kind of major legal lawsuits, I know that this is a single individual, but there's also attorney generals, I think, across all California are bringing these guys to court over the way their algorithms are, or their apps are designed to keep people's eyeballs on them. I think documents leaked from 10 years ago or whatever of Zuckerberg saying we need to increase screen time by 12%, or I'm probably getting that wrong.
Yeah, well, no, that was it. Yeah, so they wanted the retention rate, basically people spending more time. They wanted, it was...
Scroll rate, or no?
No, it was engagement rate. Like, it was literally just being on the platform 12% longer than they were.
Yeah.
And I think it harks back to, and I mentioned this on the show a few weeks ago, to what Frances Haugen, the whistleblower who worked at Meta, alleged when she left the company, that there were people, and possibly still are people working at these companies, who identified, flagged and engaged in conversations with senior people at these companies to flag concerns that they had about the damage, the potential damage.
Yeah.
Or the behavioural trends that they were seeing, and yet nothing was done. And this, as you said, it is a bellwether case and an example, and it ties into the European Commission's preliminary ruling about TikTok and the addictive nature of that platform as well. Like, this could be the point where we see platforms being ordered to change how they work. The infinite scroll, the engagement, the dopamine high that we all get when we get a like or a comment or whatever, all of those things, they're not good. Like, we're both adults.
Yep.
It's not good for us.
No, exactly. So it's a case of protecting us, and then more importantly, the younger generation, the teenagers, the sub 16-year-old categories, that I know that there's different legislation's been implemented across the world with Australia and France that I'm delighted to see now that I'm a parent myself. You know, I'm only a brand new parent, but when the time comes when my daughter's of age, I hope that she can't get her fingers or eyes or anything anywhere near these apps until she's fully kind of able to understand what she's processing or what's being pushed towards her or on her from these social networks. It's going to be a very different world, I understand, but just to know that there's going to be protections in place, because yeah, it's a case if they can really work on ways of putting up safeguards or guardrails on these apps for people that are more easily, I don't want to say manipulated, but just not
influenced
and led to kind of just keep using something they don't want to keep using. They need to kind of disengage from these platforms. And as you said, something as simple as the infinite scrolling, that it just goes, do you want to continue? Or whatever it is, there may be some little bits of lip service at the start. I think, you know, obviously back a while ago now, Instagram removed the likes.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of a thing. People were like, I can't believe you only got 200 likes or whatever it was. So that was one little tiny step in the right direction. But there's so much more that can be done to kind of protect these people that just don't understand exactly how impactful these platforms are on their health, their mental health.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I'm going to continue to watch with great interest, and we'll bring you updates across News Talk here. There was a few things from this week, from the opening statement from the team representing the young woman, I thought was striking. They had three sort of kids building blocks on the table, on display, and it was ABC. And for each of those letters, it was addicting brains children, which is very stark. They also said they're going to show you the addiction machine that the big tech companies built, the internal documents that people normally don't get to see, and emails from Mark Zuckerberg and YouTube executives. So this is going to be one to watch. We can't, after this point, have anybody saying, oh, I didn't realise it was this bad.
Yeah.
I saw Taoiseach Simon Harris has joined Substack and he posted a blog or whatever you call them the other day. And he said, you know, this is now an urgent issue. I think that it's great that it's viewed as an urgent issue, but I also think it was an urgent issue last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. So look, we'll watch it with great interest and see what happens, not only in this country, but indeed abroad. Finally, before I let you go.
Yeah.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. Love it.
Love it. Obsessed with it. Wouldn't let it go. They've now introduced an ad tier in Ireland.
Yeah. So like in the US, a lot of those streaming apps have the option to let their users sign up to these cheaper, more kind of cost-effective ad tiers that then will play ads, obviously, throughout kind of break sections and shows. So then that subsidizes what you pay each month. So it's coming in at $8.99 when it launches here on the 3rd of March. So just a few weeks away. And yeah, I guess it's just a bit more cost-effective, as I said, where the usual plan, kind of if you're a new customer, you're looking at $11.99 or €12 a month. So you can knock €3 a month off your monthly subscription, or you can go get those more cost-effective annual subscriptions too. But this really is for new customers, existing customers that were on the original standard rate of $10.99 will stay on that rate if they don't kind of discontinue their subscription. But if they kind of cancel and come back, they'll be either on the standard, the new one with the ads, which is the $8.99, or they'll be bumped up to the new standard pricing of $11.99. Mm. And then there's the premium one, which I'm a big sap for because it's the best picture quality, the best sound quality. You can have four concurrent streams, so anyone, you know, four people in the house can use it, and that's $15.99 a month. So it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. And as I was talking to Claire Byrne about earlier in the week, they all add up. Like, yep. Yes, we're getting HBO in Ireland now, which sounds great.
End of March, yeah.
End of March. But it's another subscription. Yep. And I find that we're kind of constantly having to be on every platform to watch whatever your friends are watching or whatever it is. So it does add up. But do let us know your thoughts. Is there a subscription that you'd be happy to let go of? Or is there one that you would cling on to for dear life? You can email techtalk@newstalk.com. John, thank you very much for all of that. You'll be back in another few weeks to answer questions again. That email is techtalk@newstalk.com. You can read all of John's reviews up on theeffect.net. But for now, John, thanks a mil.
Cheers, Jess.
We are going to come back to that topic of the social media addiction trials in just a quick minute. But before that, we have a lovely prize to give away to one lucky listener with thanks to our show sponsor, Renault. Renault is an official partner of the Dublin International Film Festival. And to celebrate, we are giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to the Renault Gala's Irish premiere of Couture, starring Angelina Jolie. The prize also includes an overnight stay at the 5-star Merion Hotel Notions, plus transportation to the gala on Friday the 27th of February in the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin. A gorgeous prize, no doubt. If you want to be in with a chance to win, simply tell me this. Angelina Jolie starred in Tomb Raider, that classic video game series. What was the name of her character? Text the word WIN plus your name and answer to 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. The competition is going to close on Thursday at noon and the winner will be announced on next week's show. So again, tell me, who did Angelina Jolie play in Tomb Raider? You're texting the word WIN, very important, plus your name and answer to 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Best of luck.